trying to live the Christian life and getting the victory and fight the devil, right? I got to keep doing that. The devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We got to fight all of that all the time. Well, let's look at some verses here tonight. I'm going to focus on one, but I want to read a passage here, and we'll focus on a few verses here. So we're going to go to 1 Peter 5 tonight. And if you look there at verse 1, here the Bible says, "The elders which are among you," and that would be like their pastors, "I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And this is what he tells the pastors. Verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So right here, let's just look at that verse. He says, you give them the message, feed the flock, right? And then he says, manage it. Manage the church, if you will. Give the oversight. Then he talks about a motivation there. It's not for by constraint, but willingly, and it's not for, you know, money's sake, but for a ready mind. So we got these things going on. And then he talks about the manner of it in verse 3. "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." So the pastor is to lead and not to dictate the church. And then look what he says in verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Amen. Verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Isn't that a great lesson in the Bible to always remember? God will resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And then he tells us in verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So in the midst of your troubles and trials, and he is writing to a persecuted church, right there he says, just be calm, cast it all on the Lord, right? Cast your cares on the Lord. And then he tells them this, be cautious. Be calm in verse 8, be cautious. Look at verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Kind of hard to be calm when you got to be cautious, but the Bible tells us to do both, right? So be calm. You got a lot of stuff going on in your life. Be cautious. You got the devil there. And then he tells us to be combative. You got to fight that. That's what I mentioned a minute ago. Verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast," just keep doing it, "in the faith, and knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So there he says, be comforted, really, one to another. So a lot going on here, right? Peter's giving us some practical admonitions, if you will, out of this passage and from the pastors and what they're supposed to do and then to what all the saints need to be doing. The Bible gives us all this instruction, right, that we need to have. And but I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, so many cares to cast. So many cares to cast. So we're going to zero in on verse 7 there where he says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you."
Getting a little tickle here. I don't know why.
All right. So verse 7, casting. Throw it, just throw it, fling it, give it to, how much of it? All of it. How much of your care, concern, and worry? Cast all of it, throw all of it, where? To the Lord. Why? He cares. Amen? Whenever he says cast all of it, that's why I'm saying there's so many cares to cast. We're just going to give a general overview of that tonight and think about all of this. I'm glad God knows that we have cares. God knows that you have cares. God knows that you have fears. God knows that you have concerns. And God is, you know, obviously God is not oblivious to that or indifferent towards that. If you read all through the Bible, you see examples of it. You see admonitions like this about it. as to what we ought to do. God just commands us to cast our cares. Lay them at the feet of Jesus. Leave them at the altar of the church, right? Just give your cares to the Lord. Fling them. Throw them. Don't keep them. When you cast something, you're trying to get it far away from you, right? But you're giving it to the Lord and trying to get it away from yourself. So he says, cast them upon the Lord there. Seek His help. Seek His strength. In your times of weakness, concern, care, worry, confusion, right? Do we have any of that? You got all of that? Yeah, we got all of that going on in our lives, right? So the Bible says, what do you do with all of that? Not just some of that. All of that, you cast it on Him. So there's so many cares to cast, and I'm going to talk about a few of those tonight. Let's pray real quick. Dear Father, guide and direct us as we look at this tonight. Encourage our hearts. Strengthen our faith. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about it. Number one, there's family fears and cares that we have. There's family. Does anybody ever have any concerns where family is concerned? Everybody does, right? There's going to be some issues. There's going to be some things going on within the family. Again, read the Bible. I mean, the Bible families, there was a lot going on. A lot of people's marriages today are insecure and miserable and not going well because they've got a worldly philosophy and they don't know the Bible. They've never been taught the Bible way. Maybe they didn't have a good example. And they don't even, perhaps, they didn't have a good role model of marriage, and they don't know what it's supposed to be like. Maybe they're unequally yoked and in their marriage, and maybe they're just, you know, going the way of the world. And again, they hadn't been taught the Bible, and they don't even know where to cast their cares, right? But for Christians, we cast our cares on the Lord. And we give Him and leave these things with Him, these troubles, these trials, these problems that we might have. And marriages certainly, even in the church, have their challenges. Amen? Right? So you know that. You understand that we're all people. We're all human. We still have these old sinful flesh. The old man is still getting in the way sometimes. Y'all have that too, right? The old man gets in the way sometimes too, for sure. So and then parents are just, parents are just worried and fearful people. Grandparents are worried and fearful people, right? Remember J. Iris getting his daughter to the Lord because she was sick? The concern, the overwhelming concerns that he had there in his life about that. So we understand the fears that parents have. But how about this? Not only when they're kids, my mom used to say every time she looked out the window, she got scared to death because the three boys of us were doing something crazy, you know, so it scared her all the time just to look out the window to see what we were doing. But you know what? Even when they grow up and become adults, it's still worrisome, right? It's still very concerning, perhaps, about what's watching them in adulthood. You worry about their crowd. You worry about their influence. You worry about their career, you worry about their mate, you worry about their future, you worry about their health and their wealth and all of those kind of things and going on all around you. You worry about the grandkids. How about this? You worry about the spirituality too. Amen? See, all those things I just mentioned are things that everybody worries about. But we ought to get concerned about these things as well. You know, verse 7, we like verse 7. God says you can cast your cares upon me, but oftentimes we ignore verse 8 where he warns us about the devil. Right? Well, God, here's my problem. And sometimes we forget that spiritual matters are problem, are great problems too. Right? So sometimes we think about the family trouble or trial or problem that might be going on, and we think about this, but we got to think about the spiritual matters as well. So there's so many cares that we have to cast, and you know, like that man with his demon possessed son that he took to Jesus, and you see that over and over again in the Bible. What is God saying, though? God's saying you're going to have some concerns and problems and issues. You're going to have some anxiety. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put it into my hands, cast it towards me, and trust me with it. That's why you just keep right on praying about all those cares family cares, family concerns, you just keep praying about them. Amen? Are you done praying about them? Are you finished praying about them? You think it's all handled? You know, Paul said, I hadn't arrived yet. I still got things to work on, still got things to deal with, still got things to pray about, and there's always something else to cast towards the Lord. You ever find out when it comes to family concerns, when you cast them, it's almost like a boomerang and you get it right back? And then what do? You have to give it back to God again. Amen? Keep doing it. There's family concerns and cares. Number two, let's talk about this. There's health concerns and cares as well. TV medicine ads, they don't help. They add to your anxiety. Amen? They just add to your ulcers. And don't Google something either, by the way. That'll kill you right there. If you try to Google it and see what's wrong with you and what's going on in your life. But you know, the modern care health system is a nightmare. Modern health care is a nightmare. Y'all remember that, okay? It's the truth. Maria had to go today to talk to a surgeon about neck surgery. Well, you know, she went recently to get a shot in her neck for that pinched nerve. And they said, you need to go back. You got to do so many weeks of therapy and you got to get shots. Okay, well, she goes back, and they said, no, we looked at the MRI. You don't have to do none of that. You need surgery. They set up the surgery. Go to the surgeon. The surgeon says, look, he got hopping mad with everybody. He said, let me tell you something. Yeah, I see your MRI. Therapy's not going to help. Shots aren't going to help. You need surgery. But here's the problem. He said, the insurance is not going to pay for it until you go through all those hoops. And this is what then he got mad at the other doctors. He said, and they're supposed to know that. They should have already told you that. He said, I'm getting surgeries canceled all the time because they're sending them here and they hadn't jumped through the hoops that the insurance company requires, and yet they know this stuff. He said, you've been going through this long enough now that all of this should have already been taken care of. He said, yeah, I'm ready to do your surgery, but I can't until you go through the hoops, right? He was hopping mad with the healthcare system, right, himself, and he's in it. So it's constant frustration. Cancer, insurance, medical costs, I mean, a lot of stuff just out of your control, right? What does God say do with it? Cast it. Just say, Lord, I need help, I need wisdom, I need open doors, I need direction, I need healing, whatever it is, the Lord said, cast it towards Him. Keep on doing it, right? Everybody's got health issues and concerns. Now, look, if we're healthy, thank God for it. Amen. But thank God for it. But everybody gets a little something or a major something sometimes, right? And health, why? Because we're in these old sin-cursed bodies that Adam sent down for us to have to live in, right? But God knows about it. God cares about it. God wants to help with it. He says, cast it. Somebody said, the more we think on God's word, the less we can think on our worries. Get into the Bible and cast it on the Lord. I'm just saying, there are family fears and concerns. There are health concerns. We got that. Hey, number three, let me say this. Number three, I know none of y'all have this one, but I'll hit it anyway. Financial concerns and fears. I know who I'm preaching to. You're all good, all right, right here, financial. But, you know, a lot of folks have fears in this regard, too. Am I going to outlive my money, right? And all of these things. There are fears there. Somebody said the more money a person has, the more problems they have. I don't know, but that's what I hear, right? Amen. Maybe you know about that. I know that's the problem because the Bible says in relation to the love of money, it's the root of all evil. It does cause more problems the more somebody has if they're not right with God and honoring God with it, right? But we can't take money with us. Do we realize that? You know, this one man lost his luggage. And he had to have a couple of suits really fast, so he stopped off at a little thrift store. He said, y'all got some suits at a good deal? They said, we got some really nice suits for you. And we got them at a good price, too. They said, but here's the thing. These suits were used by the funeral home, and they used them for, you know, viewings, and then they didn't need them anymore. But they've been pressed. They've been cleaned and pressed. They're nice suits. You know, the funeral home used them for those dead folks, but we cleaned them up real nice. We'll give you a deal on them. He said, well, I got to have them. He got them, and then he got them. He put it on later, and he went to put something in his pocket, and he realized all I had was flaps. There were no pockets. He got to realizing dead people don't need pockets, right? Can't take it with you, amen, right? So down here we like to have some pockets to put a little money in, amen, right? For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Just trust God with it. Aren't you glad God said, hey, when you leave this earth, Christian, a mansion up in heaven, amen, right? Streets of gold. You're going to be good. But down here, he did promise he'd meet your needs, right? He'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Give us this day our daily bread. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things there in Matthew 6 that he talks about shall be added unto you. He says right there, cast your financial cares on me as well. Now, folks, all of this tests our faith, doesn't it? Family and finances health, and all of these things test our faith. But God knows that. That's why he addresses all of this in the Bible and tells us to cast our cares upon him. So you got some family things going on. You got some health things going on. You got some financial concerns, and some people are worried they can't get a job. Someone else is worried he's going to lose his job. You got all of that going on. He says, hey, Christian, keep casting it on the Lord. Let me say number four, their success and failure concerns. Someone has said this, in God's will, there is no failure. Outside of God's will, there is no success. Think about that. In the will of God, there is no failure. Because you're doing what God wants you to do, and he's going to take care of you, right? Outside of the will of God, well, we've got a lot to worry about there, right? Amen. You know, Moses' mother, she put him in a basket. She put him in the river. His older sister watched to see what would happen and just watched God unfold the whole thing. God, what did Moses' mother do there? She cast him in the river. What was she doing? She was casting it into God's care. And God took care of him too, didn't he? Amen. So it tries our faith to do it, though. I tell you, it's a leap of faith. Even the casting can be a leap of faith. When she put that little baby, Moses, in that basket and cast him down that river there, well, that's casting your cares towards God, and you're saying, I'm taking my hands off, and boy, that's scary, isn't it? When you don't have control, you ever ride with somebody else, you're not driving, you're riding, that's scarier because you don't have the controls, right? Amen. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about? Teach a teenager to drive or just ride with your wife, you know, amen, stuff like that. But it will concern you because you don't have control. My mom, she used to punch a hole in the over there trying to hit the brake for me, you know, on the other side, trying to hit that brake all the time, and wanting me to, you know, wishing I would too as well. But it's out of our control is the part. So when you cast it, you're taking your hands off of it, and you're saying, Lord, it's yours. Well, that's a lot of faith. This baby I'm putting in the basket in the river, that's a picture of casting, and it's scary. That in itself is scary. The Life Application Bible says, don't let fear of what might happen cause you to miss an opportunity. Be alert for the opportunities God gives you and take full advantage of them. Well, sometimes opportunities are scary to take full advantage of. Peter took advantage of it whenever he said, Lord, can I come out there and walk on the water with you? And then he got scared to death when he did it, right? He took advantage of it. It was a leap of faith, a step of faith, no doubt. But it was a scary, scary time. Folks, let's pray. Let's seek God's direction. Let's move forward in faith. But we got to trust God with outcomes. That's the scary part. When you cast it, trust God with outcomes. Whether it's a success or a failure, that's where we get concerned. Is this going to work or not? Is this going to work out? This is how I want it to work out, and I don't know if it's going to work out that way. Boy, that's the life of faith, isn't it? But God tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. What is the future? What's it hold? Do you have any decisions you have to make? You got some things you got to venture into, and you just don't know. God does. You follow Him. But you trust in Him. And you're casting even your future on Him. And whether these things are going to work out or not. Let me mention this one. People fears. People fears. I mean fears of people. We ought to be afraid of people today. But what I mean by this is a lot of folks are intimidated and influenced by people. And they're afraid to speak up for God, take a stand for God. A lot of people are getting influence at work and on the job and in the family, and they're getting influence. They're intimidated by somebody, and rather than doing the right thing, they're compromising, right? Let no man despise thy youth. I think Timothy was a timid young man. Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. Same thing that Peter was telling him here, take the oversight. That's what he was supposed to be doing as a young pastor. And God told him, let no man despise thy youth. You be an example to them in all these areas. Well, that was really a hard one for him to take. The Bible says also there, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power, love, sound mind. You know, a mind filled with fear and panic and anxiety is not very sound, is it? Well, we've got to ask God to help us get back to that. With his help. Amen. There's the fear of witnessing. Paul said, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And therein I may speak boldly as I ought. He said, but you got to pray for me, or else I won't be able to speak boldly as I ought to. Right? He said, I need you to prayers because he's talking to kings. He's talking to great people in power. He's talking to soldiers around him. He says, hey, I need some help. If I'm going to be bold in this, I need some help. Matthew, the Bible says in Matthew, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. He's saying, hey, don't be afraid of people. Fear God. That's where it ought to be, right? The right kind of fear and reverence of God. And that's why Paul was able to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? He's saying the same thing right there. Don't be afraid of people and situations and people that are over you and they're making decisions, and give it to God. Cast it on the Lord. And may God help us in these situations, right? And then let me give you this one. I've talked about family and health and finances and our failures or successes, and people, situations, we got to trust God with it. Let's talk about this, number six, and I'll be done. Life and death fears and concerns. Life and death. Now, basically what I'm talking about right here is just the fear that people have of death and eternity and not knowing where they're going when this world's over. A lot of people don't care. They're not concerned. Why? Because they're unbelievers. But a lot of people, when they get close to that time of death, is when their eyes open up and they realize, you know what, I might need to think twice about this one, right? When people face death, that's the scary thing, because they don't know where they're going to be or where they're going to go, or if it's going to be like they thought it was, or somebody told them, or whatever. You know what we do there? We cast our souls at the Lord and believe the gospel. You trust the gospel. You trust in the promise of God. He said there that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise. People say, why do y'all believe in eternal salvation? Why do y'all believe in eternal security? Well, why do you believe that if you die today, you're going to go to heaven? Because God made a promise. It's really not that hard, right? Yeah, but what if you do this? It's not about what I do. It's about what He did. Amen, right? I'm not going to fear death. I'm not going to fear, will I make it? There's no security in that. You know, you might mess up along the way and not make it. No, the Lord did everything, and He's my Savior, and He keeps me. Amen? I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm not going to spend time in fear and insecurity about whether or not, well, I'm trying real hard to make it. Well, you're not going to make it if that's what it's based on, right? It's got to be based on Him and what He did on the cross. What He did in His perfect life, what He did on the cross, He made the payment for us, and God forgave us. So that takes away the fear of death, hell, and the grave. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Brother shared that here just a little bit ago before church. God knows when it's time to call His own home. Amen. And God's not wringing His hand saying, I hope you make it. I hope you make it. The Lord knows when you're coming. Amen. He's in control of that. In the rapture, it's not going to be, I got to figure out who's coming and who's staying. Now, He already knows all that, right? And if you're saved, you're saved. Amen. You're saved from the penalty. You're saved from hell. You're saved from being left behind if the rapture happens, right? We don't need to fear these things. You know, in every case of this, Jesus is the answer, right? I know we live with these things. They're hard. They're scary. They're fearful. They come up every day, and we have situations that we're frightened about. I mean, you know, you think about the 12. The Lord sent them into a storm, and then He came walking on the sea to them. He came to them. Came to help them. But even the manner in which He came scared them. But you know what? The interesting thing was, before He walked out there to them, He'd already been on the mountain praying. Well, I dare say He was praying for them in the storm. So while you're in your storm, while you're in your trial, whatever one it is that we're talking about here tonight, a combination of them that we're talking about here tonight, whatever that storm or trial is, He says, you just keep casting it towards Me. Because even if you're in a storm out in the midst of the sea, the Lord's on the mountainside praying, and He can come to you even in the storm. Amen? That's why you keep casting those cares to Him. Knowing what? He made a promise. He cares. Why did He say, why? He commanded us to cast our cares. Why? Because He cares. And He wants to help us. He wants to take care of those situations for us. And the Lord will help us if we'll do it. These verses here, they tell us to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Fear Him. He'll exalt you in due time. When you exalt Him, He'll exalt you. You fear Him, you exalt Him, and you do what? You trust Him. Fear Him, exalt Him, lift Him up, glorify Him, and you trust Him. Keep casting those cares. Say, preacher, is it that easy? Y'all, you got to keep doing it. Your flesh is going to bring those fears and concerns and worries up again. Keep casting them, right? Cast them again tomorrow. Cast them again tomorrow night. Cast them again the next morning. But just keep putting them in the Lord's hands and trusting Him with it. And knowing He cares about it. Whatever it is, all your cares, what did He say? What did He say? He told you what to do with them. But what did He do with them? He said, I care about all of them. Wow, think about that. All your cares that you care about, you're concerned about, He says, I care about them too. Casting all your cares upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. And by the way, it ain't so much that He cares about the problems as what it says. He cares for you. And He knows the problem that you're in. We got to be reminded of that. We have to oftentimes remind ourselves. So whenever you cast it again, remind yourself, I'm giving it to You, Lord, because You promised. You said You care about this. I'm glad He cares about it. Amen. And wants to help. And instead of handling it by ourselves, He said, I care about it. Cast it My way. May we keep doing that. Make it your practice every day. Amen. The Lord will help you that way. Let's bow our heads tonight and think about this. So many cares to cast. Lord, we thank You.